Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the 3Q FY23 earnings conference call of Patanjali Foods Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dheeraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. Good morning, all, and welcome to the call. I would like to thank the management of Patanjali Foods Limited to allow us to host the call. We have with us Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, CEO of the company, Kumar Rajesh, CFO of the company, Chintan Kotak, IR. And now I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remark. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning to everyone, and wishing everyone a very happy new year. I would start with the performance highlights of what we did in quarter three, and walk you through in terms of the highlights of the performance that has just gone by. So from the revenue terms, we did 7964 crores of revenue, which is a drop of about 7% from the previous quarter. Our EBITDA went up from 205 crores to 405 crores, which is up almost 97%. EBITDA as a percentage of revenue is about 5.1%, where we sort of work. PBT is 344 crores versus 154. Broadly, in terms of the segmental-wise performance, we had the big three segments that we have is the edible oils portfolio, second is the foods portfolio, and third is the seed extraction portfolio. And then there are associated businesses like windmill. So I will go through one by one on the revenue and the margins that we gained on these businesses. So on the foods, we did 157470 crores versus 2,400 crores that we had in the last quarter. Our overall margin EBITDA was 174 crores versus 622 crores that we made in the foods. And there's a reasons for the drop, both in terms of the revenue and the margin. And I will pick it up later on the call. On the oil segment, we did 6,067 crores versus 5,917 crores, which was marginally up. But in terms of EBITDA, we did close to 196 crores of EBITDA this quarter versus negative of 451 crores, what we had in Q2. On the seed extraction side, versus 440 crores in the previous quarter, we did 689 crores. And on the EBITDA side, versus 24 crores, there was a margin drop of 2 crores. We did 22 crores. On the windmill, we had an income of 6 crores in the quarter. So in total, the EBITDA for the quarter was 405 crores versus 205 in the last quarter. In terms of the highlights of the business performance in this quarter, foods as a percentage of the revenue for the overall company is now nearly 20%, which is a very positive sign. And in our stated intent that we would like to take it 50-50 over next 5 years, so that we are very much on course for that. Oil growth, we did more than 10%. It's in double digits versus the overall industry growth of 5%. So that has been a very positive sign as we continue to notch up larger numbers. Biscuits, we have grown nearly 15% plus. And the number of retail outlets, we increased from 4 lakhs to 8 lakhs. And that march continues well. And our margin profile in the biscuits has improved as well. And I will give the detailed breakup of the food business also. The oil margin, we did 3.2% in a market which was extremely volatile, where the prices have continued to swing between minus 10% to plus 10%, and that has continued to change. We have worked on revamping the entire nutraceuticals business, so a lot of work which is going on some parts of rebranding, some parts of new distribution structures, The work on, you know, direct to consumers is fully getting on steam. And likewise, multiple other initiatives, including launching of, you know, flavored and different sports nutrition, etc., that is going on. During the quarter, we had two additions to the leadership team. Mr. Pawan Arora, who came from ADM Agro. He has joined as the head of the consumer business division, which looks after the Nutrela business. And Mr. Apurva Kumar, he has come with long experiences of Amway of nearly 20 years plus. And he has joined and in the team. In the oil palm segment, we signed two new MOUs with the government of Nagaland and government of Tripura. Tripura, we have been allocated 103,000 hectares of land. And Nagaland, we have been signed for three districts in Nagaland. The area is yet being determined. We set up nine new nurseries. Our imports of sprouts, which is the basic material which you have to place in the nursery, that has gone up exponentially. We have done more than 5 million sprout imports this year. The plan is to do 10 million sprout imports next year. And from 23-24, which is the coming year, and after that 24-25, which are going to be a huge kick-up years for our oil palm plantation. Our international business, as I had mentioned in the previous call, in the call before that, has continued to gain momentum. We have, done almost 16 crores of exports of biscuits on two segments that we focused on. And added to the food business as a connectivity, we did second part was on terms of the dry fruit imports, and which is going to basically dovetail into the foods business. So rather than buying from the trading community, we are buying, we are importing our own and adding value to it by processing it and then exporting. In terms of the new product development, there's a lot of work which has gone in. I mentioned about in the sports nutrition by adding multiple different flavors, which are catching the eye, the gym goers. Likewise, this is a year of millet, so we're working quite actively on the number of millet-based products, and you will soon see, hopefully next 2 months, these getting launched. In the ready-to-cook segments on the Nutrela side, there's a lot of work, which is going on. So next 3 months, we're going to see multiple different launches which are going to happen, and which is going to basically be driving the growth in the areas. One more in terms of the, the HR issues. We had second year in the running. We were awarded the Great Place to Work. So which is idea being that both in terms of the employees and the teams and the leadership team, their motivation levels and making Patanjali Foods an attractive place to work. So a lot of good stuff has gone in. I'll come to something which is, I wanted to share on the food side. So in terms of the breakup of the food business, it comprises of basically four distinct segments that we have. And in the four distinct segments, we broadly have areas like, where foods that we took over from Patanjali Ayurveda. The second one is the biscuits business that we have. And third is the nutraceuticals business. And fourth one is the TSP, the texturized soya proteins, which we call under the Nutrela brand. So in terms of the revenue, it dropped by 352 crores. Basically, a couple of things happened that there was a heavy inventory push in the quarter two, which we made. And as I had mentioned last time in the call also, in the previous quarter, that sustaining the revenues and the margins of quarter two would be impossible because there was a lot of, it was first quarter that came in. It was a lot of push that we did in the marketplace, and that has carried forward. Why the revenues have dropped? So one was the revenue on account of the foods. Second one was the nutraceutical category, where we had again, sort of started on the new distribution category of yoga karyakartas, who typically are associated with Patanjali. And there are more than 1 lakh of them. So there was a big push that we had in terms of pushing the inventory towards them. There were, the super stockists and the distribution system. There was a big push that we had towards the nutraceutical products. So that, you know, had a drop. And the third one was that, you know, in terms of all the schemes that we continued giving to the market post the Diwali and the wedding season rush, after that, this has continued to basically gain momentum. And that has carried forward in terms of contributing towards the growth. In terms of the food margin, what we have always maintained that it makes consistently, it should be between 15 to 18% business that we will have. Against that 15 to 18%, our margin this quarter was 11.08%. So there is a 4% less than what we otherwise would have anticipated, and of course a very substantial drop versus the previous quarter. But this is something which is, you know, one-off because there was a carryover of the previous quarter, which has had an impact. And there are certain categories under which this has undergone a certain amount of change that we've had. And we're expecting that we should get back to the regular run rate on the food side from this quarter onwards. Oil has stabilized. Our, you know, businesses within that, whether it's nutraceuticals or biscuits and others, continues to, you know, move apace and move fairly well. And rest of the businesses are kicking in pretty decently. So in terms of the how the next quarter would look or how the quarters after that would look, I think we are pretty much towards normalization of our revenues and margins. And, you know, the growth rates, what we mentioned before, and the margin profile that we mentioned before should be pretty much in line with what we mentioned. And the highlights I've already given. So now I'm open for, with this, I will close my remarks and I would, I'm open for questions from investors.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the two things which you mentioned on the 1 lakh yoga karyakartas and the fact that you have hired a very senior person from Amway. My question was the yoga karyakartas and the Amway distribution is something which are both very innovative, and normally most other FMCG companies obviously don't do that because Amway again has a very differentiated model. Wanted to understand how do you see these two verticals, as in why have you hired that person from Amway? Would you plan to do some level of similar distribution in the medium long term? And on the yoga karyakartas, you did mention that the dip in the foods business was partly because of that. I understand that. But is there a big opportunity here? Because this has been available in the group for a long time. So why did we not tap it, say, earlier? Thanks.
I think the three parts to the question. So one is the Amway person we have not hired for multi-level marketing because there are obviously a lot of regulatory challenges there. And he came with his expertise in the nutraceuticals business. As you know, that's a significant player in the marketplace. And he carries a long experience in that business. So that was hiring was on that perspective, on that basis. The second question is, yes, it's a strength which Patanjali has. And last quarter, sort of, we started that. It takes time in, you know, the inventory getting, you know, sort of passing through the system. The customers in that those camps gaining traction with what we offer. So it is taking its time, but that is something which we are extremely bullish about. And so that's a more a direct marketing model which we are adopting, where the distribution system is being tied up to yoga karyakartas who would in turn distribute it to their followers. And that's a model we are following. And to the last part of your question, that why have we not pursued this earlier? I agree, it could have been. And this is something, so we are making the first attempt on nutraceuticals because that is something which people who come for yoga are directly sort of connected to that in terms of their health concerns and all that. So the ability to relate to what is being offered is much better. besides becoming an income enhancement opportunity for the Yog Karyakarta, etc. So we are quite sort of positive about it. And it would take, you know, a couple of quarters for that to start to stabilize. So we did a pilot. We ran through that last quarter, and we continue to work very closely with that.
Sir, my second and last question is on the Reliance FMCG foray. So, of course, they have extremely ambitious plans. And in this part of your business, I think they will be a bit more aggressive given it's a large market. I understand post their entry, it will be good for the branded piece to pick up for all players. But would you change your strategy medium-long-term whenever Reliance increases aggression in your core products? Still, it is early days. That's why my question is more from a medium-long-term. How do you see such a large conglomerate entering large parts of the commoditized part of FMCG, so-called commoditized part of FMCG?
Right. So I've spoken this before to the media also, because this obviously has aroused a lot of curiosity in terms of how that would impact. See, broadly, if you look at the overall category of foods, is humongous. So we, from an overall India perspective, occupy a very minuscule part of that, and likewise for Reliance as well. And foods is a highly distributed business. So in terms of the core of foods that we have is extremely differentiated. Our competing points might be very few and very limited number of categories. So I'm not anticipating any sort of direct impact on a business. So, for example, things like Chyawanprash and medicated juices and, you know, Ayurvedic-based products and all that in the foods portfolio, that's totally away from that. And likewise, in very few categories, perhaps there might be competition. We respect Reliance. I think that's an incredibly competitive large company. So we respect that, but I don't believe that there will be sort of any substantive impact in the near term. Yes, over medium term to long term, if things sort of do start to impact, we will certainly respond, and then we welcome competition of that kind. I think that builds up the market and builds up the category itself.
Sure, thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So, firstly, can you give the split of revenue between the food business for different categories?
Sorry, Mr. Agrawal, but your voice is not clear, sir. It is sounding a little muffled.
Is it better now?
It is still there. There is an echo from your side.
Just a second. Now, is it better?
If you remove the speaker from the speaker, I think it would get better. It's like very unclear right now.
I'll do one thing. I'll just get back in the piece for a second. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jeevan from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have actually two questions. So first question is on a sustainable basis. How do you see the food business doing in FY24? So can it be like 6,000 crore portfolio with 15 to 18% margin? Can we assume that?
You know, what we have maintained is the food business typically should generate 15 to 18% margin that we maintain. It could be 100 basis points less. It could be 200 basis points more. But broadly, it will be in that range. In terms of the revenue, what we acquired versus what we already have, I think we should be, in terms of the revenues next year, pretty much close to about between 5,500 to 6,000 crores of revenue.
Okay. And in the oil business, can it be like 4% margin is a sustainable margin, operating level, I'm saying?
Oil business is, you know, quite volatile. So in terms of the objective that we have is that we want to sustain a margin range of 3 to 4%. And 4% if we do, it's obviously a good performance. We have done the past much better than that as well. But I would say from a guidance perspective, between 3 to 4% is safe to assume. And that is something that from a targeted basis is what we are aiming for right now. And so, and you know, it's a, because there is a lot of volatility and we are careful about that. But I think in general, if we look at the past 2 years of performance and if we look at the current year as well, I think barring the blip that we had in quarter two, in general, we should be in the range of 3%-4%.
Okay. Okay. Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I just wanted to know the breakup of the food business across segment, like what you acquired, and then Nutralia, Nutraceutical, and TSP, and how had been the operating profit over there or EBITDA?
Yeah. So if I've understood your question right, it was slightly unclear, but the food business that we acquired from Patanjali Ayurved was 4,000 crores, in which it was split almost one-third between ghee, edible oil portfolio, and the other foods. So the edible oil portfolio gets reported with the edible oil, so I will not address that. So basically, on an annualized basis, the business that we acquired was close to 2,700 odd crores that we took over. And of that 2,700 crores, the split, so that is one, which is on annualized basis. The other two, three components of that is nutraceuticals business, the biscuits business that we have, and the CBD, the Nutrella brand that we have of TSP, soya nuggets, etc., that you see in the marketplace. So this quarter, we have done 1,570 crores of revenue in that segment, where the foods has been 1,083 crores. Nutraceuticals has been 11 crores. Biscuits has been 306 crores. And Nutrella, the soya nuggets, has been 135 crores, and others have accounted for 47 crores. So that is a split in terms of the revenue. And as I already explained earlier, that the change in the margin construct and the drop, it happened in two categories. Basically, we had in the foods, certain parts of the business, the sales dropped because they were pushed aggressively in quarter two. And, things like ghee and honey and certain medicated juices. The second one was the nutraceutical pipeline was very aggressively filled. So basically, you have to see 2.5 quarters which were rolled into one in the last quarter. So that happened. Biscuits, we dropped marginally because this is a completely off-season for biscuits in general, because in the winter, typically the demand moves elsewhere. So versus 352, we did 306 crores. And Nutrella, we did about pretty much the run rate that we have, about 135 crores. That's what 550 crores we do annually. So that is how the split in the business was. And income-wise, as I mentioned earlier, that change happened. So totally 11%. And I think from a guidance perspective, maintaining an expectation of 15 to 18% will be the range as we go forward on the foods part. And I'm expecting from this quarter onwards, we should pretty much remain on the same path of 15% sort of EBITDA. And growth rate of 15% overall among the four segments.
Sure. Second part, like this quarter, close to 1570 crore was the revenue. So, is it the right quarterly revenue generated for the food business? Like, if I'm thinking annual terms in FY24.
Boss, I'm missing your. Sorry, you'll have to repeat that question. I think it's very.
Mr. Kuldeep, if you have placed the call on speaker,
hello.
Can you please switch it on the handset mode? Your voice
hello.
Is not clear, sir.
Hello.
Yes. Well, yes, you can ask Kuldeep now.
Yeah, so I'm saying like this quarter in food business, there was close to 1570 crore revenue. So is it the sustainable base which we should consider in the food business side in the coming quarters?
Yes, of course. I think pretty much we should be on course, and barring marginal change in terms of the revenue, we should be pretty much on course for that.
So my question is like in FY24, this number should be overall combined more than 6,000 crore, right? 6,000 to 7,000 crore, because it's having all the components, nutraceutical, biscuit, Patanjali food combined. So
I mentioned earlier in the call itself that we should be close to 6,000 crores irrespective. For the next year. In fact, it could exceed that as well. Between the, if we look at the overall sort of run rate that we have, we should exceed 6,000 crores next year.
Sure. And last bit, this oil business, you're maintaining that margin profile of 3 to 4% either in coming quarters or for medium term. That is the correct understanding, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot. I will come back in a few.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moonshot Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sanjeev, my question is on oil palm cultivation. We have 60,000 hectares of it. Can you let me understand the economics of it? How 1,000 hectare will give how much revenue? Something like that.
Okay. So that will take a lot of time. I can give you a simplified version, and maybe after this we can talk offline as well. But briefly, I tell you, we currently have 64,000 hectares under which is planted, which is split over 9 states. But the dominant one is Andhra right now, and where we have major part of the work done. Excuse me. Then we have between Telangana, Karnataka, parts of rest of India, and the big aggressive push that we have in the northeastern part. So basic economics is that the margin profile is pretty much on the, 16% depending on the value of the palm oil against a very fixed formula. So it becomes like an annuity income that we generate out of the business. And in terms of that, depends on the yields in which state and how it is, but I can give you the further perspective on that. But in general, annually, we typically end up making close to, 200 crores from the business in the oil palm, and which is pretty much consistent income that we have and which will sustain itself. So as we grow, as more and more trees come into maturity and start yielding fruit, this margin will continue to go up. So it is pretty much dependent on how fast we execute and how soon these trees start to mature and that profile builds up. So I'm expecting that while on a steady base, we will see a good progress over the next 4 or 5 years. But the big jump will come after 6 years when we will see a dramatic increase in the, the plantation that we're doing now. And they start yielding fruits on the 4th year. And 8th year onwards, they start to mature. So then we should see a big bump in the income.
Can you give me the figure that after 5 years, what can be the revenue potential from 1,000 hectare per 1,000 hectare?
1,000 hectares, I can give the, so from, you want to look at per 1,000 hectares basis.
Yes, how much revenue it can generate after 5 years, let's say it goes to the maturity phase.
Okay, so maybe I can give an example on a per hectare basis. So we typically, have about 20 tons of fresh fruit bunches that we take. And about, typically in terms of the yield on the oil side, it is running at about 16 to 17% that we have. And so in terms of yield basis, about 1.5 lakh rupees per hectare should be the revenue. And there about 15% margin. It's very safe to assume.
Okay. And next question is on that on foods portfolio. We have very good margin on TSP side and other nutraceutical businesses. And we are having aggressive targets of increasing also. And we are going for premiumization. I think 15% is too low. I think we can make much better than that.
So I'll explain that. The biscuits typically, while this quarter we did well, but in general as a business, it is between 5 to 8% business, because by the very nature of the product sort of mix that we currently have, we are working very actively towards premiumization. You will see multiple launches of the premium biscuits that we are going to be doing this quarter. But it will take time to take roots. The foods portfolio is 15%. The nutraceuticals typically is about 30% margin business and neutral as well. So, yes, it can pick up. But I think on a conservative basis, if we look at the growth momentum, I think 15 to 18% is a safe bet to take. And which is quite aggressive, because even the foods portfolio configuration that we have, as I mentioned earlier, ghee is a high margin product. But rest of the products, which typically would be falling into some medicated juices and others, they're pretty good. The third part of that, which is towards the atta and pulses and rice and all that, typically our, you know, the margin profile is limited. So to that extent, I think 15% is safe, and aggressive should be anywhere between 16 to 17% we should do.
Okay. My last question is that our brand has some image of more of a Bharat kind of brand, not of a premium kind of brand. What kind of branding and product velocity we are trying to make sure that our this notion has to be changed?
So Bharat actually is a strong USP that we have, and but it's a very good question what we're working towards, that there is a contemporary India, and there is a traditional, you know, sort of base that Patanjali has, and we are working towards straddling both. So as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, the urban distribution, the premiumization, the nutraceutical push, in fact, you know, in terms of rebranding, not by name, but in terms of what kind of packing and positioning, etc., that we're putting forward. So that effort is going on fully apace, and you will see a lot of sort of change in the way the company is positioning itself without diluting any of the core values that we have. And we will be modern, we'll be contemporary, we'll be a smart company, which is facing the consumers with confidence. And I'm reasonably hopeful that, you know, this gradual shift in our strategy will bring good fruits to the company's performance.
It's good to hear, Sanjeev. Thanks a lot and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I believe I'm audible now.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, on the split of foods business that you give, so just to clarify the numbers, you said nutraceutical was just 11 crores for the quarter.
Yeah. As I mentioned, that the sales of nutraceutical, you should see in the perspective of almost nearly 2.5 quarters of sales done in one quarter. And on account of the new distribution channels and businesses that we did. So that is the basis. And this will pick up momentum again. I think I'm expecting that by middle of next month, we'll be getting back to the normalized number.
And so how much was honey and atta for the quarter? Last quarter, it was 192 crores.
Specifically, honey and Rajeshji?
Yeah. This is 132 crores in this quarter as compared to last quarter. Some sorts of honey is less than last quarter.
Okay. Sanjeev sir, one thing I wanted to get your sense more on this, you know, QOQ volatility, the revenue and margins for the food business. I mean, it's highly unusual for an FMCG company to have this kind of seasonality. So, I mean, one part that you've covered obviously is the last quarter, there was some distribution expansion-led numbers. But, you know, if you can highlight more on how much quantum of that, you know, was, you know, opening up a distribution, and it will help understand it better because it looks too volatile for an FMCG company.
Yeah, so I'll explain that. As I mentioned, and I'll repeat that, our revenues dropped by about 352 crores. Versus the in terms of the foods alone, where the big differential was, and second differential was that where we saw a drop in the nutraceutical revenue. So nutraceuticals was a very unique case where we were you know, filling up the pipeline you know, quite actively, and that had an impact on the results of this quarter, because for pipeline to find its way through the primary, through the secondary sales and the tertiary sales, it takes its own time. So that is one reason, which I, as I mentioned, that I'm hoping that this gets stabilized. Food was a very exceptional case because last quarter was the first time that we took over the food business. There was a heavy surge in demand that we witnessed, and there was a lot of push with the sales team that came over, started putting to the pipeline. There was a lot of primary sales, you know, which were generated to give to the distributors and super stockists. So that, you know, was one reason why the sales suddenly saw an upsurge in the last quarter. This quarter, part of that has continued sort of in terms of going forward. Some parts are seasonality that one can explain. in terms of with the season change, certain sort of items tend to sell less. So that is one reason. But as I mentioned earlier, so some seasonality of differential will be there. But I would ask you to look at it not just as foods on a standalone basis, but on an overall basis, that we would expect that we maintain that run rate of 1,500 to 1,800 crores. Next year, we do expect that we will be 6,000 crores plus on an annualized basis. And that is broadly the orientation that we want to keep in our business, that, you know, sometimes there is some pickup because a lot of businesses that we have got seasonality to it, especially in the foods business. Nutraceutical is a pretty steady business. Neutralize also has very, you know, has got seasonality of 6 months of high demand, and even biscuits have a seasonality effect. So we will iron that out, but on a blended basis, I think that is pretty much safe to assume that between 1,500 to 1,700 crores of revenue is what we expect to do.
So what would be the trade receivables number as of December end?
Rajeshji?
Yeah, this is 2,100 crore approximately at the December end, you can say.
Okay. And we continue to maintain a view that by the end of Q4, we will see this number go down.
Mostly.
Okay. Lastly, Sanjeev sir, on the oils business, so in the last con call, you had mentioned that, you know, of about 450 crores of losses that you booked, half of the losses were on the mark-to-market loss on the inventory side, which you said that you had recovered given that the oils prices have recovered from the lows of September. But if I see this quarter, our EBITDA is much lower than even that number. So, you know, if in the normal course of business, I mean, we haven't generated much of the margin this quarter, because, you know, if I considered it, some part of the 250 crores obviously would have lost again, but still, I mean, the number is still lower than even that number.
So the oil market, you know, I just want to give you a perspective on the volatility on the oil market, so that you should understand as to under what circumstances this has been done. So during the quarter itself, you know, the high and low between the palm oil was 99,000 rupees a ton, was the high, and low was 81,000. So the range was 16,000 rupees a ton, it swung. Likewise, in soya oil, it was, the change happened was 31,000 rupees a ton, it swung from 137 to 106. And, sunflower oil swung between almost 39,000 rupees a ton from 156 to 116. So I would say that, you know, the massive drop that we saw in Q2, which of course was unprecedented and it impacted everyone, this quarter was extremely volatile. And I think within that, our expectation should be clearly that the range should be between 3 to 4%. And on the low side, we will be happy that on the low side, we never drop below 3. And on the high side, you know, keeping our expectations at 4%, I think is a very reasonable expectation for the business. Where, you know, if we maintain something like, you know, 24,000 crores of revenue that we expect to do in the oil business, broadly, I think we should be pretty much in the range of between 3 and 4% margin. And I think that's a reasonable 200 crores kind of margin that we should do. Some quarters we'll do better. Some quarters we may do marginally worse. But pretty much that would be the range.
Right. And lastly, on the promoter stake sale, any timeline on that, sir?
So as you know, that 31st December was the date that we had. We have sought some time. So I think very soon you will hear progress on that. And we're expecting to hopefully complete it within the next few months.
Okay. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Ashana sir, two questions. One, to take it from the questions the two earlier participants asked. That was about the oil business second quarter was an unprecedented global volatility. So that's understandable one. And some amount of, I understand that volatility still is affected third quarter. So do we see this now kind of getting normalized from the fourth quarter, barring any new shock? We should see the oil business stabilizing in terms of behavior from the current quarter, that is the fourth quarter.
Bharat bhai, the two parts to the question I'll answer. One is from the aspiration and own plan perspective. I already sort of gave the answer that between 3% and 4% we would like to maintain the margin. In terms of the what to expect from the market side seems to be stabilizing, barring some major shock on the war sort of intensifying or the major monsoon failure in South America at this late stage, because markets are volatile there, and maybe the change in China sort of situation with them opening up the economy suddenly. Our bigger challenge is the regulatory ones, which is very difficult to anticipate and plan for. So, for example, the new mandates that are getting sort of started with in Indonesia on the biodiesel side, Malaysia sort of wanting to do the same. Big change in Indonesia starting their own exchange versus Malaysia. The challenge that we have in South America, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of Argentinian currency, because Argentina is a major exporter of oil, soya oil to India. So that has a big impact. Sunflower oil. So the problem is the in the marketplace is that market part we can do still well, where the supply and demand is concerned and the fundamental factors are concerned, technical analysis, etc. We do okay with that. We do pretty good on that. The challenge is the regulatory events and something which we could ill sort of, it's impossible to plan for that. So I do anticipate that we should stabilize. And having said that, I'm just giving one small caveat on the regulatory actions, which have a very substantive impact on how the commodity markets behave.
Sure. Barring any major shock again of a global kind or any out of turn regulatory action from the current quarter onwards, we should be seeing the progress of oil business normalizing in terms of the kind of margin behavior that we normally expect to see between 3% to 4%.
That's right.
And I, while the margin may be modest in the oil business, I suppose given the large turns, the return on capital employed overall in normal situation is very satisfactory in oil business.
That's right, because there are multiple turns that we do in a year. So currently, which is between 5% to 6%, we want to sort of grow that to 7 to 8 times. I think if we can do that, then margin profile, the return on capital deployed, is very decent.
And could you explain that third quarter there was an unusual combination of factors and that affected margin? Second quarter was exceptional both in the top line as well as margin due to Diwali effect plus special situation. And from the next year, that business in the guardrails that you provided, you expect that to normalize?
Yes.
One final thing, on a more long-term basis, can we kind of highlight what kind of growth rate we expect and what kind of operating margins we believe we should see? So oil separately and within the food business, biscuits, Nutrela, our other food business, and Nutraceutical. If you can highlight what kind of, on a 5-year basis, if you have to look at 3 to 5-year basis, what kind of growth rate you believe would be there on a per annum compounded basis, and what kind of margin progress we would see over that time frame?
Right. So in the foods, very clearly I see that on pretty much on a consistent basis, we're targeting for 15% growth year on year on a compounded basis. In the biscuits business, and this is better than what the market trends are. Biscuits, we are witnessing very solid growth right now. But I would assume that 15% year-on-year growth in revenue, we should certainly be able to attain. Nutraceutical, that market is expanding quite rapidly. We have gone through a lot of learning also in the last year and this year. So I expect that the range of revenue growth should be between 20 and 25% year-on-year. And lastly, on the TSP side, I'm expecting that our growth rate should be about 10% on the low side, and on the high side, 15%. But there we are witnessing a lot of smaller players, larger players sort of coming in as a competition. But we pretty much have a very solid leadership position, and we continue to expand our distribution. So we should be on that course in terms of revenue terms. Margin profile-wise, you know, foods, we have stated that 15 to 18% margin is what we should get in the foods. Biscuits, the current range is 5 to 8%, though this quarter was exceptionally better. But I would, our effort is that as we move towards premiumization, we start hitting 8 to 10% sort of margin profile in this one, and preferably towards the double digits as we go towards that. Nutraceuticals, you know, there's a blend of margins. We target 30% clearly targeted, but I think it is safe as we have built up more aggression, and there's a lot of, you know, incentive structures that you run. So we are saying that between 25 and 30% margin is what we should do in nutraceuticals. And TSP, what is currently at about 15 to 18% will be the consistent range. I don't anticipate that it will drop, but also at the same time, it may not exponentially go up either. So broadly, that is the profile of both the revenue growth and the profitability growth is what we can safely look at.
And on the oil?
On the oil side, the market is growing between 3 to 4% year on year. Last year, last quarter was about 5%, but there was, as I mentioned, that due to Diwali and opening up of economy and wedding, etc., it went up. Typically, 3 to 4%. We are growing definitely between 6 to 8%. And I think if we can maintain that growth momentum, we should be in a good position to continue expanding our market share and continue growing at the cost of our competition, both the larger and the smaller ones.
And well, the margins, 3 to 4% you mentioned, but over the period of time, I think with the overall size of the business expanding, hopefully that margin also can lift up a bit over a period of time?
It logically should, but I'm just careful about the margin profile, because I'm just providing for the one-off exceptional events or, you know, the sudden change in the price profile. So that's what we're providing for. Of course, we would like it to be between 4 and 5%. But I think it is safe to assume that it will remain in the broad range of about 4%.
Hi. So to summarize, the oil business, we should do better than the market and grow more like 6 to 8% and margin 3 to 4%. And as the base expands, hopefully margin move in the category of 4 to 5%. And as far as the overall larger food umbrella is concerned, biscuits, we should be doing much better than the market and kind of 15% compounded over 3 to 5 years. While margins today 5 to 8%, you are saying that the premiumization should move to 10% or closer to that double digit. Nutraceutical will be high growth and will be high margin both. It's about 25% growth rate and margins closer to 30%. And Nutrela, you said growth rate should be 10 to 15% and margins will be in a stable range. neither will increase much or decrease much at 15 to 18%.
That's right.
And the remainder of the foods business, 15% growth rate and 15 to 18% margin. Is that a good summary of what you said?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Asana, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Three, 4 bits, like advertisement spending in food business and overall. Second, like what is the distribution reach now and what you are targeting in coming years? And third, on the CapEx part, like what should be the expectation in coming years for the company?
So I think you mentioned about advertisement. I think advertisement our run rate typically should be between 200 to 300 crores per annum in terms of, because certain new categories etc. will require that push. What was the second question you had on the CapEx?
CapEx as well as distribution reach currently.
Yeah, distribution reach. Yes, 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 that's right. So as I mentioned that typically our distribution is about, in terms of a million retail outlets that we reach directly. We reach, and I'm talking for all the business, because going business by business can be there. But like, for example, I mentioned 800,000 outlets that we have in biscuits. So we reach, so it's a different for different businesses. So we reach 1 million outlets directly. We have additional reach for about, the secondary reach, which does not get accounted for at direct distribution, should be about additional 1 million. And we're growing that anywhere between 10 to 15% almost annually. So in terms of overall growth rate, I think by the end of 5 years, we are expecting typically that direct retail outreach should be closer to 2 million. And indirectly, we should be adding another maybe 500,000. So we should be in retail points of nearly 3 million plus stores in the country.
And what about CapEx?
CapEx typically, so CapEx I'm splitting between two distinct areas. One is what we're going to be spending on the oil palm going forward, and which most of the CapEx will start to build up from year after. I think this year we'll have some, but most of it will be year after we'll start sort of picking up on that. And otherwise, our CapEx run rate should be in the broad range of 150 to 200 crores. Part of that is going towards the maintenance of the plants. Some parts are towards the upgrading the capacity, and rest are totally greenfield. This one, but typically 150 to 200 crores is our CapEx range.
And within the food business, what is the mix of in-house manufacturing and outsourcing?
Most of our manufacturing is in-house. I would say that I can give you that number separately, but I would say it would be close to 90% plus would be in-house.
Yes.
Last bit, Nutraceutical, overall about 23 revenue expectation and about 24. What should be the expectation for full year?
So broadly, in fact, I think we should be in the ballpark range of about in the nutraceuticals business, if you look at the overall basis, we should be close to 600 crores in this year, and on an overall basis.
And 24, it should be having 20-25% growth, right?
Yeah. So I mean, just I'm a little careful on that part, Kuldi, because it's still a very distinct and different kind of category. And in terms of the overall basis as to, what exactly will the base be, with this continuation of the Q2, as I mentioned, and some changes this year. So, for example, right now, as I speak to you today, we are at about 516 crores. And I'm a little careful in terms of projecting. But next year, we should certainly be crossing, certainly it will be 600 crores plus. It could be closer to 700 crores as well. So that's the objective with which we are moving forward. And as of now, as we speak, till YTD, till the third quarter, it's 516 crores.
Sure. And you mentioned about four business
going. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Kuldeep, but your
voice. But your voice is very unclear, Kuldeep. Aapka muffled aa raha hai barabar.
Is it clear now?
Yes.
Yes.
So last bit, like food business, when you're saying 15% CAGR, it's overall food business combined, like Nutella, Nutraceutical, biscuit, and acquired food business from Patanjali. Is it correct understanding?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Thanks a lot.
I think we'll have to sort of wind up the call in 2 minutes. Because we've got some media interactions.
Sure. So this was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. So broadly, you know, as I mentioned in the call, that we had a good performance in this quarter. The outlook will continue to stabilize. I think coming out of, you know, a situation what we faced, new business acquisitions, new product launches that we've done. So there's a lot that we took on our plate. All of that continues to go towards the stabilization. And I'm expecting that while a lot of things, you know, in terms of the anticipating and changing, et cetera, may not exactly go in line with many a times our plans, but broadly, I'm expecting that Q4 should be stable and should start giving us very good sort of results as well. There are solid plans that we have in place. There's a good team that is backing it and working it. There's a good thinking, you know, within the promoters in terms of how do we take it forward. And above all, I think we have the capacity that how this company is going to go forward and we'll start to build up. We should see a lot of uptick and growth in the coming quarters. So with that, I close my comments. And thank you so much to all the investors who have taken time out to participate in this call. And really appreciate your support and the time that you've taken.
Thank you. On behalf of Antic Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you very much.